Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
So during the week, we got a letter from a parent, right? They received an email from the principal of their children's primary school about play dates, saying the school was aware that parents were organising them and that they basically shouldn't be. But I know a lot of people are arguing, well, it is within the rules if there's one kid goes to another kid's house and sure, they're all in school together anyway. But I wonder, do you think that kids should be going on play dates or not going on play dates? Are you sending your kids on play dates or not? Is that principal overstepping the mark? I know a lot of other people who got a similar letter from the school, but I suppose the school's attitude is, look, you're going to have to suck up some other stuff. We want to keep the school open at all costs. Anyway, look, let's rock on. My next guest is an associate professor of law in DCU. She sits on the policing authority and she was a member of the Commission on the Future of Policing a couple of years back. But now she has done a really interesting podcast. Dr. Vicky Conway, you're very welcome. You're in the Radio na Gaeltachta studio in Donegal. How is day one of lockdown up there, Vicky?
Oh, it's fine. No change really for me. So, yeah, okay. Thanks for having me on.
So, look, I know this is your first foray into podcasting, and I suppose, look, a lot of people, for a lot of us, our experience of the guards is going in to get a passport application signed, or right now maybe stopped at a checkpoint and having a fairly kind of amiable interaction with them. Your podcast is called The Policed. That's about people who have a completely different relationship with the guards. Who are the policed?
Well, sorry, it's actually called Policed in Ireland.
Sorry, yeah.
And it's really about putting front and centre the voices of people and the different experiences that people have of being policed in Ireland. And I think, you know, often there isn't a space for us to hear those voices. But through my various roles, I've been hearing them for a very long time. You know, on the Commission on the Future of the Policing, we went around the country talking to people about their experiences of policing. And you felt very privileged at the time to hear those experiences. But I felt like those were quite absent from a lot of the national discourses on policing. And I think it's really, I just wanted to create a space where we could hear those voices and where people could reflect and think about that, the fact that different people in Ireland have very different experiences of policing, and it may not match what a lot of us experience on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, so for example, the most recent episode is about children and some children and their interactions with the guards. And you tell the story of a 15-year-old boy, Oscar. Oscar was at an underage disco and then he ends up in a Garda van. Tell me about Oscar.
Yeah, so Oscar is now a school teacher, a primary school teacher, really articulate young man, real pleasure to speak to. And he talks about one night where he was at this underage disco, his friend had been drinking and he ended up getting kicked out and a guard offered him a lift home. But once he got into the van, things kind of changed quite quickly and he realised he was actually being arrested. He tried to video this because he didn't think anyone would believe him. And he says the guards involved didn't like that and they got quite aggressive trying to seize the phone off him. So there's a bit about how he experiences that on the evening, how scared he felt. And then also how he's treated at the Garda station. He says that he got there at about 9:30, 10:00, but his parents weren't phoned until about 4 a.m. And, you know, so we hear directly from Oscar about what that was like and what that meant for him. And then we have a bit of contextualisation. So Professor Ursula Kilkelly from UCC talks through the real significance of why children need to be treated very differently than adults when they're with the guards, why that is and what the consequences can be. So it's just about trying to hear those stories and put some context and understanding for people who maybe haven't thought about these issues before.
And Vicky, is there a class issue here? Would Oscar have been treated differently if he had come from a different background, do you think?
I think the really important thing is that Oscar feels that. Oscar believes he was treated this way because he's working class. And for me, that's like, it's not necessarily, I'm not trying to figure out, did this happen exactly as he said? That's not the aim of the podcast. The aim is to hear how people experience things. What does it feel like? What do they believe about what happened? Because if we don't accept that and, you know, kind of think about that and acknowledge it, then we run into real trouble. I mean, you know, the previous episode, which talks about the death of Terence Wheelock, very powerful stuff there from TD Gary Gannon about how, you know, even 15 years after his death, and the family have so many questions left unanswered, but that has had a real scarring impact on the north inner city in Dublin, and that community needs to heal. So, you know, these are stories that have, they can often seem quite small, but they can have really huge consequences.
Will you remind people, now, to Terence Wheelock, it's two episodes of the podcast and we could talk about it for the hour, but can you just remind people of the story of Terence Wheelock?
So Terence Wheelock was a young man who was arrested along with friends for, his friends had stolen a vehicle the night before, and it's quite harrowing to listen to it, but Oscar was, I mean, the guards say he was found unresponsive in his cell. Terence was found unresponsive in his cell, that he had tried to take his own life. He was taken to hospital and 3 months later he died. His family have a great number of questions about all of that. And I think what's really hard to listen to is, you know, the fact that they are not getting these answers. And I think when you listen and you hear and you imagine, you know, anyone who's lost a loved one in circumstances like that would have very, you know, they were in the care of the state when you're being detained. And so how did this happen? But they do, they're very clear on the podcast, they do not believe that Terence took his own life.
But we should say that three different investigations did all agree that Terence died by suicide.
Yeah, but they're still left with those questions. And even, you know, it's more than 10 years since the GSOC investigation. And it's only in the last month that the family have had some of Terence's clothing returned to them. And they're actually still trying to get a T-shirt back. So, you know, this is very much ongoing for the family, and the way that they have experienced what happened in the aftermath has really, you know, left them very upset and surprised, and I think a bit re-traumatized by the state.
And as you say, a whole community there as well, where there is this wound in the relationship with the Gardaí. Another community that you talk about, I think it's the first episode, is about migrants. Very simple story of Maho Rivas in Cork and problems she had in reporting a hate crime. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and there's actually kind of two issues that come up when Maho speaks. So she, she had racist abuse shouted at her on the street. There was a guard nearby. She tried to report it to him. He said, you need to go to the station. And when she went to the station, which she did, which an awful lot of people wouldn't do, but she went to the station and was a little bit upset because the statement was taken at the public area, which she didn't feel was really appropriate. And it, you know, really made her question, was this because she was an immigrant? But how would that play out for other people? Like, she really asks, like, is a migrant who's maybe experienced domestic violence going to go to the guards if that's how they're treated? And she shows how this is deeply interconnected to the fact that in a lot of the country, the Gardaí play a really significant role in the immigration process. And this is something I think the guards, it's trying to be moved. The Commission on the Future of Policing said this should not be something that the police do. But because they have a role in, that migrants have to turn up to Garda stations and kind of almost check in and have things approved by the guards, it feels like, you know, they're nervous about going to speak to the police because they're worried about the impact it has on their status in the country. And I think just even hearing about that and realising, for some people in this country, it's not as simple as just go to the police and tell them if you have a problem. And for a lot of people, it is as simple as that, you know, and they can turn to the police and they do trust them, but not everyone has that experience.
You talk a lot in the podcast about cop culture and the blue wall of silence. And I suppose we would have thought that a lot of that has been dealt with in recent times with, you know, things like Maurice McCabe's case and everything.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you go back to the Morris Tribunal, you know, he was very clear. There were the police that wanted to speak out about what was happening in Donegal but felt that they couldn't. Other police lied to the tribunal. One kind of infamously said, you don't hang your own. And there's a real issue here because policing is an exceptionally difficult job. It's really stressful. You never know when you're going to face danger. You know, we've only this year had the really unfortunate death of a guard. And that is a very real issue for police at all times. And that can make one of the ways of coping with that is to have really strong solidarity and really supportive of each other because nobody else gets it. If that goes too far, though, it can create that blue wall of silence where you don't really feel like you can speak out when a colleague has done something wrong. And that's going to take a lot of time to change. I mean, this is found in every police force and every police service in the world. Research kind of is very, very clear on that. There's nothing exceptional, I'm saying, about the guards in that regard. Mm. But
is there an appetite for reform within the Gardaí?
I'm on the a member of the Policing Authority. I was on the Commission on the Future of Policing. I speak to guards very, very regularly. I think, you know, the vast majority. So from my position, I think the vast majority of guards who join, and I've spoken to a lot of probationers, they really want to help the community and they want things to be better. And I think some of the problems that are in the guards aren't great for guards either. But I think they've had a really tough 15, 20 years, you know, and there's been a lot talked about and exposed. But I think these are legacy issues. So, for instance, next week's episode is with Oscar Bratnock, one of the men who was wrongly convicted of involvement in the Salem's mail train robbery in the late 1970s, and who says he was brutally beaten by the heavy gang. And that might feel like a really historic issue, but for me, I've argued this in my book, I've already published this, that, you know, these are things that they're legacy issues from the way that the state has thought about policing and structured it and the political involvement and even the social attitudes, how we as a society feel about policing. And these are legacy issues and they continue to have effects, in my view. And so that's why, you know, I think starting these conversations about how are people experiencing policing and maybe then helping us to reflect on what is it that we want the police to do. Like, we should all be thinking about that as active members of society.
Okay, Vicky, thanks. And if people want to find those podcasts, where will they find them?
So Police in Ireland is available on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or you can go to tortoiseshack.com, which is the group with whom I'm releasing the podcast. I'm really grateful to Tony and Brian for all their work on this so far.
Okay, Vicky Conway, thanks a million. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.